1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We come this morning to our second lesson in 1 John. Last week we looked at the introduction to this little book, and this morning we start the first section of 1 John, which begins with verse 5 in chapter 1 and runs through the end of the second chapter. The main heading of this first section of 1 John is God is Light. In the general outline of 1 John, we find two great sections in this particular book. This first section, God is Light, and in the second section, which begins at the beginning of the third chapter, the theme is God is Love. And then there is a conclusion to this little book. In this second lesson, we do zero in on the subject of God is Light, and in this particular paragraph of 1 John, John, I think, deals with the subject in a typical fashion. In other words, this is his general procedure. He lays before us an item of doctrine, an item of truth. And the item of truth is given to us in verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Then John proceeds in the remainder of the paragraph to draw from that initial statement of truth or doctrine implications for us, implications for the Christian life, what this truth means for us as individuals, or what it should mean for us as individuals. And as I see it, this is John's general procedure, and we'll be working on this as we go through the book of 1 John. He sets before us a truth, and then he works out the implications of that truth. And as I see it, generally, he does this. He gives us, one, Christian truth, and two, he gives us Christian evidences. That's how I'll be dealing with the various paragraphs of 1 John. But in all of this, we need to keep in mind that John has an overall purpose. His overall purpose is given to us, as you will recall, those who were with us. That overall purpose is given in 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. So the Apostle John is anxious to lay before us the evidences for the Christian life, so that in the end we may come to grips with the fact of a knowledge of our having eternal life. Well, let's jump into this first paragraph. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. I have to say, first off, as we get into this initial paragraph of the body of John's letter, that John is delivering to us a message. A message, folks. And you know what a message is, do you not? A message is verbal communication. He sets forth a message. The gospel of Jesus Christ, in other words, is good news. J. Gresham Machen, who started Westminster Theological Seminary, said in his book, I think it was Christianity and Liberalism, that Christianity is good news, not good views. And there's a difference between having views and understanding that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message. It is good news. There are some who are wont to say that the gospels of Jesus Christ are carefully painted portraits of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, don't you, that there's a difference between a picture, a portrait, and a message. There's a dramatic difference between a picture or a portrait and a message. A portrait cannot be heard. One of the reasons a painter paints that portrait is to leave with us an impression through that portrait. That's one of his desires. And so that portrait cannot be heard, and neither can that portrait be proclaimed. Oh yeah, a picture can be described, but in the end, when that picture is described, we are left with a certain impression. And we begin to ask questions like this. How do you feel about it? You know, it's really interesting in our society today that that's one of the big questions that we ask. Well, how do you feel about this? Now, when we speak about a message, something different happens. A message can be proclaimed. A message can be heard. That's why we're here this morning interacting in the way we are interacting. What does John say? And this is the message which we have heard and from him and announce to you, proclaim to you. What is the proper response to a message? The proper response to a message is not what do you feel about this, but what do you think about it? Now, when I say this, I'm not trying to downplay our experience, our Christian experience. I'm not trying to do that. Because our Christian experience is vitally important. And we're going to see this in the context of 1 John. But I want to tell you something. That if we do not grasp the message of the Bible and understand the message of the Bible, our lives are not going to be changed the way they ought to be changed by the message of the Bible. We need to come to grips with that message and understand that message and be able to tell people what we think about that message if our lives are really going to be changed by that message. And so John is bringing to us a message. And what is that message? That message is God is light. That's the first part of that message. God is light. What does this message mean? Well, when John speaks about God being light, John is speaking about the moral qualities of God, His goodness, His purity, His holiness, His righteousness. God is absolutely pure, absolutely holy, absolutely good, absolutely righteous. God is light. It's too bad we don't like to talk in terms of absolutes in our society today. If God is light, absolute light, one of the outworkings of this is the fact that God is absolute truth. And when God says sexual sins like homosexuality are an abomination, He means it. Those sins are an absolute abomination. And when people who profess to be members of the Church of Jesus Christ stand up and proclaim that they want homosexuals to be members of their churches, they are in darkness. God is light. And how does John continue this truth? God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Absolute purity and goodness. No darkness at all. I'm reminded of the Star Wars movies at this point. I'm kind of a science fiction nut, and the rest of my family will vouch for that. At any rate, I enjoy these movies. I really do, and I think there's something to be learned from these movies. And one of the interesting things to be learned from these Star Wars movies is the fact that, if you remember them, I know some of you have seen them, that Luke Skywalker learns to be a Jedi warrior, and one of his missions is that he is to tap into the Force. Of course, this is a New Age concept, tapping into the Force. And one of the sayings in the movies is, "May the Force be with you." And then there's Darth Vader, the sinister character, the epitome of evil, who turns out to be Luke Skywalker's father. And they do mortal combat together. But at any rate, the invitation given to Luke is, come over to the dark side. Come over to the dark side. And you know, folks, we really believe in our society that that's how it works. That people can come over to the dark side. And that the divine being actually has a dark side. During the course of these movies being popular, there was a bumper sticker that was put on the back of a lot of automobiles. You probably saw it. Jesus is the Force. Blasphemy. Jesus does not have a dark side. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He does not have a dark side. You remember this movie that a lot of people made such an uproar about, The Last Temptation of Christ. An outgrowth of this same kind of thinking, where Jesus Christ was portrayed as an individual who was growing toward Godhood. And he had some problems. He was an adulterer at one point. There was a dark side to his personality. Blasphemy. Jesus Christ and God do not have a dark side. God is light. This is the message. Do you hear the message? God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. This is what the Scriptures are telling us. This is the message. And we need to understand that message, dear friends. Because it's very easy in our society for that message to be watered down. And at points we believe that truth is relative and that there is a dark side to the divine nature. How could we ever think of such a thing? This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now John begins to draw out the implications of this truth. How it is to affect our lives. What it means in our lives. Because you see, the purpose of this letter, this little letter, as John gives it to us, is this. I have written these things to you, says John, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, how are you going to know if you have eternal life? Your life is going to have to be different. You can't make a profession of Jesus Christ and live contrary to that profession. That life and that profession must go together. And John is saying there are certain evidences in the life, then, of the real believer in Jesus Christ. And he gets to those evidences now. Verse 6. Look at it with me. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You say you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian. But you have this habit of lying under pressure. When the teacher at school asks you, how far along are you in the assignment? Have you gotten to the proper place? You fudge. You don't tell the truth. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and yet walk in darkness. You see, walking in darkness is not upholding truth. That's one way we can put it. You say you're a Christian and you're in an illicit sexual arrangement. I can't be. Those two things are contrary to one another. Now, I'm not saying that people might fall. But if that's your habit of life, if that's the way you live, and you really think that's correct, and you're doing God a favor by living that way, I know people who have been in adulterous relationships, and they have told me and said, I really believe this is God's will for me. Well, that can't be. Absolutely can't be. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that is, if we know God and yet walk in darkness, what does the Scripture say? Now, this is not Denny Prudeau speaking. I want to make this abundantly clear. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Scripture. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We're telling a lie. And do not practice the truth. You see, what we are called upon as individuals to do is to have a habit of life which conforms with the Word of God. We are to practice the truth. That should be our habit of life. We should love to live in accordance with God's commandments in this way. Well, let's go on. Look at verse 7. But, thank God for these buts in Scripture here. But, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, that is, if we practice the truth. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John 5, verse 3. Look at 1 John 5, verse 3. I mentioned this particular text earlier. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. You see, one of the ways the love of God, the practice of the truth, is expressed in our lives is by keeping His commandments. When God says, love your neighbor as yourself, don't lie to him, don't cheat him, this sort of thing, you say, boy, I'm going to do that. Why? Because I love you, Lord. I'm going to live that way because I love you. And it's an expression of your love for God. And those commandments are not a burden to you. Now look back at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. One of the evidences of our genuinely walking in the light is that we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let me put it this way. If an individual in our congregation says to me, you know, Denny, I'm just not going to help out in our congregation. I'm just not going to do it. That individual is cutting themselves off from the fellowship of the church. Such an individual has made a vow in our church to be of help and support in the congregation. You can't just walk away. What does the Scripture say? But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is, we work together and support one another. What a good thing that is. But if we don't do that, what we're saying, in essence, is, I'm not walking in the light. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here comes the tension in which we all find ourselves. And I'm in this tension, I'll admit it. Because I'm saying to you, you need to walk in the light, I need to walk in the light, but I fail. And if I told you I didn't fail, I wouldn't be telling you the truth. That's all there is to it. And I have to go to God the Father and plead with Him that I be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so when we live with this kind of perspective, on life. That we desire to do good, but we see that we fail. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is an indication, dear friends in Christ, that we are, in fact, walking in the light. John explains it a little bit more fully as he goes on. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, these are some hard words here. What John is saying is that if I say that I do not have in me any sin, I'm deceived. Absolutely deceived. Because I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect either. Isn't that right? Why is that the case? Because Jesus Christ has not come a second time in glory and perfected His people yet. He's going to do that. But in the meantime, if we say that we have no sin nature at all, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If you are saying to yourself this morning, dear friend, that you do not have a sin nature in you at this time, I call you to repentance. I say to you, you need to come to Jesus Christ. Because the Word of God says to us here, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I think John is very interesting in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, and I'll put it this way, if we say that we have not sinned in any circumstance, we're in trouble. And I mean that sincerely. Several weeks ago, I had the pleasure, and it was a pleasure for me, to go down to Wichita to sit with Velma Doherty when she came out of surgery after having had her left leg amputated. And her daughter, Elizabeth, was not able to be there when she went into surgery, and so I went down to sit with her when she came out of surgery. And I was there when Elizabeth came. And Elizabeth was happy. And I thank the Lord for a lot of you who came to me and said, I'm really glad that you went down to be with Velma. But you know, as I look back on that situation, I can't say that all my motives were as pure as the driven snow in that situation. I cannot say that in that particular situation when I believe I was obedient to the call of Jesus Christ, I don't believe that I was perfect in that situation, that I was absolutely without any sin in that situation. I can't say that. And the reason I can't say that, dear friends, is I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I am. And everything I do in one way or another is tainted by that sin. And besides that, the Bible says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You see how that works? We need to be able to confess our sins. And the very fact that we recognize who we are in the light of God. You see where we're coming to now? God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if you have a glimpse of the unapproachable light of God, you know you're a sinner. That you know your own sins. And that's a manifestation of the fact that you're walking in light. You see, there's really beauty
in these seeming negative propositions which John is laying before us. Now look at verse 9 in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a beauty that is. Because in the light of God, when you see yourself and you confess your sins, what's the promise? God is faithful and just to forgive you of those acts of sin. And not only so, to cleanse you, on the other hand, from that sinful nature. Thank God that's the case. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I tell you what, if this disposition is in you, that's real evidence of the fact that you're walking in light. What's the message? The message in this paragraph is God is light. And there's no darkness in Him at all. How is that affecting your life? Are there corresponding evidences in your life? Evidences that correspond to that great message? And those are evidences that you have eternal life. That's what John is telling us. And dear friends, when the evidences begin to pile up, that's what John is going to do for us in this book. When these evidences begin to pile up, then John's purpose is fulfilled. You know that you have eternal life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, forgive me for poorly setting forth your truth. Yet work it into our hearts, Father, your word, that in the end, we may be a people who really know the difference between darkness and light, between what it means to walk in the way of Jesus Christ in light, and walking in that opposite direction. May you be pleased to use your word, O God, as an instrument in our lives so that we may know we have eternal life. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name.